So, were you ever active in any kind of clubs or anything like that in the junior high when you were?
No, I was very much just one of the clubs. I was good in my studies. I got good grades. And see, I only went, let me see, I went to the junior high school, I think 2 years. And then I went to the, in Heartland, and I finished my high school there. Mm-hmm. And again, I was a city girl, you see. Mm-hmm. So I was never accepted really fully. That the same types of people that my aunt had been, although they're very nice to me, but I never felt one of them, mm-hmm. Really. And let me see. I was going to say that when I went to Holy Rosary, the Catholic school, mm-hmm. I was very athletic. And I always led in the games. I was on various, I was on the baseball team. I could run on track. And of course, these were mostly for the girls. And then I was active in they had plays. Mm-hmm. So I was in the different plays and so on. Completely uninhibited as far as I never realized that, I never dreamed that my father wasn't paying the tuition, for example, and this mm-hmm. sort of thing.
You were at all-girls school?
No, this was co-education, but the boys and the girls strictly we just segregated ourselves. Mm-hmm. We were all in the same classroom and so on, but mm-hmm. In fact, we hardly even spoke to each other in the hall. Mm-hmm. Now, there were one or two girls that weren't like that, but I was definitely.
Mm-hmm. You didn't wear uniforms?
No, no.
Mm-hmm. So even though it was Catholic school, it was co-educational?
Yes, but in the high school, that was a uniform mm-hmm. situation.
Mm-hmm. When do you remember anyone being an especially strong influence on you when you were younger? Or?
I think probably the one that had the two people. Now, we're not talking about my mother. Mm-hmm. Aunt Frankie, because of the home, the element in the home, mm-hmm. and just an atmosphere that I had never been exposed to, that I thought that was wonderful. Mm-hmm. And the other probably was Julia, the girl, the swimmer, because of her home, the atmosphere, the college discussions about college and school, and she always accepted me as an absolute peer. Mm-hmm. She was a marvelous, a very democratic person, mm-hmm. and we just had a great affection for each other and a great respect for each other. Mm-hmm. And I loved being around her. Mm-hmm. And I think probably, as far as I can remember, they had the greatest influence on me. Mm-hmm. That it lifted me up out of myself, mm-hmm. and it made me think in a different direction, mm-hmm. the two of them. Mm-hmm.
Did you know what you wanted to study in college?
No. No, I just wanted to go to, I wanted to go to college after I met Julia. Uh-huh. I knew that that would be, you know, a wonderful life. No, I didn't. Mm-hmm. In fact, the college was a real dream, but, I wanted to go so badly. But I knew I couldn't. But at least the desire was there.
Mm-hmm. What kind of subjects did you take in school to prepare?
Oh, I took we took English and history and civics and all of these. Mm-hmm. Real academic. Mm-hmm. Nothing for fun. The only subject that I ever took for fun was a sewing class. Mm-hmm. And that was when I was going to the Catholic school. And we walked as a group mm-hmm. to a junior high school where they taught that class. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it was just a study.
Did you have any idea of what you wanted to major in?
No.
It was just totally getting to college?
I wanted to go to college.
Uh-huh. Did you, when you were younger, maybe younger than this, or whenever, can you remember at any times in life having expectations in terms of what your life would be like as an adult?
Well, I can tell you this. When we moved out to the suburbs of Tacoma in the house, mm-hmm. it was depression times. Mm-hmm. It was a bad time economically for, well, the whole area was a very depressed area. Mm-hmm. on the corner, two doors down, lived a family by the name of the Diamonds, and they lived on the corner. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Diamond had retired from the post office, mm-hmm. and they were getting a check for $100 a month. Now, that was before inflation, no tax, and they were in the neighborhood, they were the ones, financially. And I knew then, or at least I thought, about how wonderful it would be to be in civil service. Mm-hmm. Because if you worked in civil service, you'd have a pension. And then when you got older, mm-hmm. you would have, you know, financially you'd be more or less set. Mm-hmm. And that always was in the back of my mind, no matter, and then my life went through several angles and so on before I ever started working for civil service. Mm-hmm. But I knew, at least I felt, that in fact, today I'd like to get out on a soapbox and tell women, mm-hmm. maybe not in civil service, but for heaven's sake, protect yourself against a later time, because it may just be you. Mm-hmm. And there are two things, one is health and one is income. If you have those two, because you might even live to be retirement age. Mm-hmm. So yes, that is one thing. And in those days, there were no jobs. Mm-hmm. There were business colleges, but who could afford to go? And of course, the ideal then was to work in an office, mm-hmm. maybe in a bank, if you were real lucky. And but that was about my orientation for a future, was to, not that it was an active thought, but that made such an impression on me.
Mm-hmm. So when you, did you think of yourself as getting married, or did you think of yourself as working?
I was going to get married. Mm-hmm. You just didn't want to be an old maid. Not mm-hmm. then. That was a no-no. You just had to be married. Mm-hmm. But when I got up, a person like Julia, my friend, now she lived out on Vashon Island, and we used to go out there and buy the ferry. And there was a little town there, a little grocery store and so on. And she introduced me to different people over a period of time. I knew her, Julia. I've known her. I still know her. And I remember one of her girlfriends was a graduate from Oregon State. Mm-hmm. And so she had her degree. She and her husband were married, and they had a child, and the child was retarded. Mm-hmm. Little three-year-old boy. And her life was devoted to that child. And then I knew around in my own neighborhood in Tacoma, women who'd married, it was a romantic dream. They'd married, they had those children, they were on relief. And there they were, and I didn't want it. Mm-hmm. That, for me, was an absolute no-no. So I knew I didn't want to marry and live in Tacoma. Mm-hmm. Because Tacoma, to me, was a negative area as far as income. And I wanted to live like my aunt and uncle in Portland, if possible. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to marry and settle in Tacoma. And I just kept always in the back of my mind, and then finally I made a break, you know, got out of it.
You know, what was that?
I met my husband. And my sister, meanwhile, had met a sailor mm-hmm. in Tacoma. Now, we were right near Bremerton, Washington, which was a naval shipyard there. Mm-hmm. And the home port of the ships was in Long Beach. So the ships of
Long Beach, California.
Yes, right. Long Beach, California. right here. Yeah. And so the ships would go up on a scheduled overhaul, and the ship mm-hmm. would be there from 3 to 6 months. The ship would be torn down, and the men would be billeted perhaps ashore or maybe on the ship. But on weekends they could come, they could go into Seattle. Tacoma was what they called a great liberty town, is what they called the sailors. Well, that opened a whole new world for me. Now, the sailors, that particular crowd, were considered not quite respectable mm-hmm. for a girl to go out with. And my mother didn't like the idea at all. And, of course, I never really thought of it. Mm-hmm. But my sister and my brother-in-law met. I don't know if it was by accident or how, but they did meet. Mm-hmm. And it was through Robbie, my sister's husband, mm-hmm. that I met Maxie, mm-hmm. and he was a sailor. Mm-hmm. And I had a terrible time explaining that to my mother.
So How old were you and your sister about this time?
I was, well, first of all, I want to go back just a little bit. My aunt's help broke completely on the farm, and I went out there and I stayed. In fact, I graduated from high school in Heartland, as I said. And I went that last year there because I stayed on the farm to help my grandmother and be with our uncle while my aunt was recuperating in Spokane. And so at that time, I kind of broke away from Tacoma, in a sense. I was there, I was gone more than a year. I went home once or twice. And so it was on one of my visits, and I was about, see, how old was I? 20. And
it would just be after you graduated from high school, and you still stayed out on the farm?
Yeah, to help, yeah.
So you basically lived in Tacoma inside the city in the apartment until you were about 13 or so, and then you moved out to the more suburban part of Tacoma. And then the last year or so, I was supposed to say when you were around 16 or 17, you were out in Heartland.
And I stayed there as much as I could because I liked it. And I just didn't like the atmosphere where at home. I loved my mother and the family, but it was just better for me to be on the farm. And besides, I was needed. I was a good cook, and I really was able to help. And I worked hard, and they paid me.
What kind of work did you do there?
I cooked, I kept house, just regular, like a farm wife, except I wasn't married. And I helped, as I say, to raise chickens, I baked bread, I did some canning. And then I had a lot of fun.
Did you ever work around any of the farm machinery or
any
of that kind of
stuff? No. I learned how to, I just took the place of my aunt in the farmhouse. And then being very young, and I used to go to a lot of dances, and we had an awful lot of fun. That, you know, that these all these young men and the other girls, very nice kids that lived in the community, in about a 10-mile area. So I felt very comfortable around them.
Did you, when you were in, did your mother ever talk to you about marriage or about getting married and raising a family?
No.
Anything involved with that?
No.
What was your relationship like with her?
Well, I loved my mother, but not as close as my sister. My sister, they just kind of were like shadows. I'd be out playing and roughnecking outside and running foot races, and my sister would be in the house with my mother helping her. And they would dust, and they would clean, and then they would talk. And my sister is the type that she loves it. She has to feel close to somebody. Well, not close so much as, and not leaning, but she's a great communicator. And she opens up dialogues and receives dialogues far better than I ever could. And so my mother, and as I say, at about 16 or so, I started going out to the farm. And I'd be gone for all summer, perhaps. Come back and go to school, and then at the end there, I stayed out on the farm. And I just, I was happier out there than I was in town.
So, your relationship, you said you thought you were closer to your sister than your mother, I mean, in terms of
No. They were the ones that were real close.
Your sister was closer to your mother.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now I'm understanding. How about with your brother? Did you?
My brother was 8 years younger. And he was our baby brother. And my brother Howard, to this day, is a much loved person. He is a, everybody likes Howard. And my brother's handsome. He married Jana when she was 16. And they've been together now for over 30 years. My brother is 50, he's 8 years younger than me, and I'm 66, so he's 54. And he has two children. Of course, this is really another story, but I never felt his peer. I was older. Mm-hmm. You see, when I was 16, he was 8 years old, and this type of thing. And when Mama died, then my brother stayed with my father, and the two of them, they batched together, and my father managed to buy a little piece of property in another area of Tacoma, kind of a little house, and the two men, they stayed there together, and then my sister got married, and then I got married, you see.
Mm-hmm. Now, when the Depression hit, you were out on the farm then?
No, I was in Tacoma. Yes.
Uh-huh. And then you were saying, so you did spend, you were still with your family when, through the first
Oh, yes,
of it.
Yeah.
And you had mentioned going with your mother to the relief agencies.
Yes.
And things like that. Do you know what kinds of other things happened around the Depression that were changes?
Oh, I wish I could think back.
Did you mean that your father lost his job then? Or
no, my father worked all through the years, but as I say, he just didn't bring money home the way he should have, the money that he earned quite often. And now he was never in jail or anything like that. He just, and maybe he married too young. I don't know. Maybe certain ambitions and dreams of his were stunted. Mm-hmm. And but he was alcoholic. There's no question about it. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, perhaps Alcoholics Anonymous might help, something like that. But and even then, my mother always thought of it as an illness. She never thought of it as a moral issue at all. Mm-hmm. She had great understanding of it. But, of course, it was terribly hard on her because of the lack of money.
Mm-hmm. So the main effects on your family, that was that he wasn't present and
he wasn't there.
Money to spend on other things.
That's right. And when he was home, it was a big event. Now, I don't mean he was never home, but he came home so often at night after we kids were in bed. So I never felt that I knew my father. I liked him. In fact, I loved my dad. But I just was never that close to him because he wasn't there.
Did, when you, you moved out to the farm to stay.
Yes.
Was that seen as something that would, I mean, was that something that your family wanted you to do?
No, I drifted into it. I'd gone out for the summer. My aunt became ill, and I stayed on to help. It was either that or you'd have to hire somebody. And I loved it there. My grandmother was there, and I had my own room, which was a novelty. And then I loved the atmosphere of the outdoors and the farm animals. And it's a beautiful area, all farming, and in the distance were mountains. And it was just a nice, it was a lovely, serene atmosphere. And yet, there were many people my own age to go with, and I was accomplishing something. And the main thing was, I was earning some money. This was a, made a big impact on me.
Is that the first time you had earned your...
No, I had, in Tacoma, I had babysat. I'd moved into a family home, and I lived in, they had two little children.
So you stayed right in the home?
I stayed in the home, I had my own room, and I earned $16 a month. And they were very nice to me, and that was fine, and I was considered very fortunate to be in an atmosphere like that, because there are very few people I knew that had a little income of their own.
What, do you remember what you did with your money?
Oh, yes, I bought nylons and real high heels, and just about wrecked my feet, and other clothes.
So you got, you wanted to spend it on the clothing you hadn't had.
Yeah, you see, in retrospect, it might have been better to give it at home, I don't know. I didn't feel that way, and besides, my mother didn't. That's what he wanted me to do.
So there's never any pressure.
No, no.
And then from there you earned some more money back here on the farm.
On the farm.
Was it about the same amount?
Oh, no. No, I'm sure it was more. I think that, it was a lump sum. Well, as a matter of fact, I left the, not under a cloud, but my aunt and I had a kind of a row, and I left in anger. And Meanwhile, of course, I'd met my future husband, Max. And Max, he was on his ship and he came down to Long Beach. And we knew we were going to be married. So anyway, I went out to the farm to stay. That particular winter, as I say, it just kind of drifted into that, but I stayed with him. And meanwhile, my sister had been married, and she came down to Long Beach with her husband. And when we had the row, I came down to Long Beach to join my sister and brother-in-law, and of course Maxie was here too. And I had enough money, and I brought my brother down at the same time. So we three children were together again in Long Beach. And then eventually Maxie and I married. And
so when you mentioned being, you met your husband on just a trip back to Tacoma.
Yes. Yeah.
Now at the time that you were still living, you still went back to the farm after meeting him.
No, I probably was in Tacoma for a while. I'm just trying to think. I stayed in Tacoma because naturally I didn't want to go back to the farm when Maxie was still in Long Beach. Mm-hmm. And we were just really kind of getting acquainted, you might say.
You said your mother wasn't happy about you being with a sailor?
No, she didn't let, no, none of that, no, you didn't date sailors in those days. But my future brother-in-law, Robbie, well, actually his name was Paul. Mm-hmm. Paul was a little older, mm-hmm. and he was a kind of a settled person, and he came from a farming community in, I think, Nebraska. Mm-hmm. So my sister brought him home to meet my mother because my sister would do that. And my mother liked Paul, her, Winnie's boyfriend, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
And but he was the first sailor we'd ever met in the family. And I had no particular reaction, except he was a very nice man. But then he knew Maxie, mm-hmm. and thought Maxie should meet me.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing was, you see, in those days, sailors didn't have civilian clothes. It was forbidden.
Mm-hmm.
So wherever they went, they were in uniform. They were very, very conspicuous.
Uh-huh.
And so my mother just hated it. They would come out to the house, just hated it.
Uh-huh.
But, of course, we wouldn't go anywhere else, you know, to meet them or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so I met Maxie, and then when Maxie's ship came down to Long Beach, then I went to the farm.
Mm-hmm.
And we had made plans that we would be married eventually.
Mm-hmm. So you already knew at the time?
Yes, I knew we'd be married, and I knew there was my way to get out of Tacoma.
Did you think of it that way too?
No, not really. It was a combination. I was very, very much in love.
Uh-huh.
But it was a combination of that and leaving Long Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And Tacoma, and especially to come to California.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness, that was...
What did you think of California? What did it represent?
What it did to everybody. Sunshine, mm-hmm. beaches...
Mm-hmm.
Los Angeles, San Francisco, down near Mexico, the Pacific Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
See, and people still feel that way, and people in the East about California. You say California, it's like a magic word in some instances.
Yeah.
I came to California the first time. I came to Long Beach, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
It was about 3 months after the big earthquake, and I think that was in... 33, probably, yes. And I came with Julia, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And she came down. She had a cousin, I believe, somebody in Los Angeles he was a dentist or something of that nature. So she invited me to come along, and we came down my first bus trip. Ooh. About my last one, but we came down the Greyhound boat, and it was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first time, and we came through Long Beach, just a few, I guess it could have been just a few days after the earthquake and saw all this, the rubble, the debris here in Long Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my first time in California.
Did you, was that your first time traveling?
Except to Heartland.
Mm-hmm. So it was your first trip?
Yeah, and it was just, I just thought that was, I knew then I wanted to travel, that was me.
Mm-hmm. Did your mother ever, to backtrack quite a ways, when you were going through puberty, did your mother talk to you at all about menstruation? Or?
No, I didn't even know it, such a situation existed.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't dream of it.
Mm-hmm.
In those days, I guess that women just... So at any rate, I went to a Halloween party.
Mm-hmm.
That would be October the 31st.
Mm-hmm.
And we always had a costume. We went to somebody's house. It was a party. Or we even, I can remember as a younger child, going up and down the neighborhood with them in a costume.
Mm-hmm.
No party, but went on to my mother with us. And with jack-o'-lanterns with candles in them and going up and down. And we didn't have trick-or-treat in those days. That was unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I was 11 years old. It was Halloween night. I came home and I started to menstruate.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 11. And I remember mentioning it to my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't go into it at all. She just got certain equipment for me and explained that it would happen.
Mm-hmm.
Periodically, but that's all we ever said. I didn't know why, I didn't know how come,
mm-hmm.
and I did accept it, just accepted it.
Mm-hmm.
And, then it was no mystery after that.
Mm-hmm.
And
did you know that was happening to other girls?
No.
Did I ever talk to you?
No.
So
it was an absolute bolt out of the blue.
Mm-hmm. Did she talk to you at all about, did you let your mother know that you were engaged or that you were planning to marry Maxie before you met the other one?
My mother died about that time.
Died that time?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did anyone talk to you at all about sexual relations in marriage or anything like that?
I learned a lot from Julia,
mm-hmm.
the college girl.
Mm-hmm.
And that was I was a very fortunate person to go into that little crowd of Julia. She was a very, very nice girl, but she was a college woman.
Mm-hmm.
And having this cottage on the island, many of her fellow students used to come out summer nights.
Mm-hmm.
And Wes, the other the swimming instructor, and there was Julia, and there were their friends.
Mm-hmm.
And there might have been as many as, 7 or 8. They came out quite regularly on weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And she included me in that group.
Mm-hmm.
And I was about, as I say, 16, and they were in school.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember on the beach, we'd sit around, they had marshmallow loaf, and there'd be, the moon and the water and a fire going. And it was a very, very, it was a wonderful atmosphere and something I've always felt privileged to have been in that setting. And they treated me as a peer, just, they accepted me fully.
Mm-hmm.
There was a poet at that time by the name of Don Blanding, and he was published. And so Wes, this one student, he was an English major. As a matter of fact, he taught English at Northwestern University later. But he used to read Don Blanding's poetry to us by the moonlight, and I just soaked it up. And I wasn't, there was nobody I was involved with or anything. In fact, I didn't understand anything about dating in those days at all, but I knew, they were a pretty straight bunch, all of them. But Julia and I used to have heart-to-heart talks about as much sex as I ever learned about, really,
mm-hmm.
was from Julia.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew about marriage. I didn't want it and stay in Tacoma. I knew that. I just felt it would be the dead-end street.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have any schooling at all or training in the subject.
Mm-hmm. But Julia also decided to come with you on this trip down to California.
Well, she's the one that was coming, and I came with her.
Oh.
And it was just a trip down. Maybe we weren't gone more than, altogether, maybe 10 days
mm-hmm.
from Tacoma. I don't know where we stayed even. I know we got down to Tijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think it was kind of a combination business trip because her father had a small neighborhood grocery store at that time. I remember we stopped in San Francisco, and we were guests for lunch at Ghirardelli's, who makes the chocolate, a benefit of her father, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went through the plant, and there were others that we met